The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 1-866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones is a longtime friend of the press box and practices complete eye care in the metro area. From routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery, Dr. Jones can get it done for you. He is board certified in ophthalmology and assistant professor at St. Louis University. He sees patients at several locations in the St. Louis area, 1-866-260-EYES, and when you call in, tell him Frank Cusimano sent you.
Are you searching for someone that can help you market your business online? You need to call St. Louis Digital Media. Locally owned and operated, they are your one-stop shop for web design, search engine optimization, Google Ads, social media marketing, and more. We here at 590 have used their services for years and couldn't be happier. Get started today by calling St. Louis Digital Media at 314-200-5592 for a free consultation, or visit them online at stldigitalmedia.com.
Fitness will always be about keeping a routine. And the best routines in life will always make time for enjoying yourself. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Remember who it is that likes to play bongos nude? Is it Matthew McConaughey?
Is that right, Bumpa?
Yeah, he plays the bongos in the nude. Okay, so what? It's his business. Privacy of his own home or whatever. Do a little business, the business of Johnny Londoff. John Londoff has become, not only is he a 15-year advertiser, but he's become a friend, and he's made it very clear that wherever we go, whatever we do, we're going to go through it together. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
So here's what you can do for him and for us, and that is continue to give him your car business, pre-owned or new Chevy. My daughter-in-law drives in a Blazer. I have a Trailblazer and a Tahoe. So we have some Londoff vehicles in our little home fleets, if you want to call it that. My suggestion and request of you is simply this. As we go out, let's go out with in a blaze of glory, and maybe going beyond any expectations he may have based on previous purchases from AM and the PM people. Meaning, if you're thinking at all about buying a pre-owned vehicle or a Chevy, just go for it now. You're going to do it anyway. Let's just do it. Let's blow it out and go big or go home. And then when we reappear, he'll be there. He'll be there either way. So thank you, all of you who have... You're the reason that he stayed on for 15 years. I'll give you a little interesting story. After one year, and that was the first year, he was not sure if he wanted to continue doing this or not, because he didn't show the return he was looking for. Not yet. But he was smart. He could see the trend. He could see that it was starting to turn, and they were selling more and more and more to AM and the PM people. So he went past 1 year, and now it's been 15 years. And if you call John Londoff today and say, what's the best money that you ever put into advertising? What's the best investment, the greatest return? I can almost guarantee you he'll say this show. And he'll be with us when we reappear. So, yes, they sell Chevys. Can't help you if you're looking for a new Jaguar. They don't sell those. But I think a lot of people who are looking at other things might very well find that Chevy has what you want. You just got to go take a look. You got to take a look. You people shopping for pickup trucks? We live in an SUV pickup truck world now. I don't care what other pickup trucks you're looking at. Go look at a Silverado. But look at one from Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Not just a Silverado from any Chevy dealership, because the dealership you deal with does make a difference. Chevy's a Chevy, fire's a fire, grill's a grill. Don't waste your barbecue. Maul it. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I just kind of transitioned one thing to the other. No charge to the Malls people. I think they're still in business. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, pre-owned at both locations, the Chevy dealership in Florence, and of course the Autoplex in St. Peter's at 70 and 79. We appreciate over all these years, 15 of them, all of you have made it very clear that you're there because you're AM and the PM. We'll just keep that going. And even though we're off the air, you can still go and say I'm AM and the PM. That's fine. Just make the transition even more seamless when we make it. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, and of course, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Now, while I'm at it, I'm going to go ahead because I have to get caught up because we took a lot of phone calls, wrote down a lot of jokes from last hour. So let me get caught up, if you would, and then we'll bring Mr. Buffa in here. And that brings me to Window World. Also about 15 years ago or so, they came on board. They were on with other people at other stations, but I had turned them down because I'm that way. If I'm not convinced that this is a great product, and I wasn't convinced it wasn't, I just, it was a bad judgment call because I couldn't believe that for the money that this window could be all it was cracked up to be. I was wrong. It is. So when they came back around the second time, I reconsidered. I went out. I visited them. I saw the window. I jumped up and down on the window. Couldn't break it. And after I met them and sort of got to know them, I just could sense, yeah, this is something I'm very comfortable with. Let's do this. So that was at least 15 years ago. So even though it's not like a vehicle, people shop for vehicles every 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 years. You don't do that with windows. You know, I've never bought windows. Never had to. You may never have bought windows, but if you're in any home long enough or if you buy a home old enough, you will buy replacement windows. You know the rest. The rest is this. Why would you not include the window that is purchased by more people than any other replacement window in the United States? You wouldn't. So you will include them, and more than likely, unless you're crazy, that's the window you'll go with. Just make sure they know also that you're AM and the PM. To Jim Lomax and John Gillette, thank you so much over the last 15 years or so for your support of the show. We've always appreciated it, and we will continue to when we go back because they, too, have made it clear that all I have to do is pick up the phone and call them. Window World, number one selling replacement window in the country, the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, and the official window of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com, and I might add that Window World sponsors the guy that I am about to introduce once we hear this theme music.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
I mentioned yesterday other stations copying this show, and Dan, that what I just played, Let's All Go to the Lobby,
yes.
I heard it just a couple of days ago on another station introducing a similar segment. Oh. We are being copied by the world,
wow.
And that's the greatest form of flattery. Courtesy of Window World, WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Please welcome, for his next to last appearance here, until we meet again somewhere else, Dan Buffa.
Good afternoon. Very somber. It's kind of a somber feel, man.
No, it's not. I don't understand that. It's
I
not.
Know.
It's not for me. It's
I
not
know.
Somber at all. It's another chapter.
In November, I'm coming to this room at Tuesday at 4. I'm going to do my segment. Whoever's in this
room. No matter
room,
who's here. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, we were joking that about Bill Cleveland. That he's still going to come at 5 no matter who's
we'll
on the air.
Here. I'll be like, they'll be like, the Cardinals did this. Well, I'm talking about movies. Cut off that Cardinal talk.
Well, whoever's going to be sitting here will be sitting here. Hang on. What's 31st Halloween? What night is that? Is that
Sunday?
Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah.
So, October 2nd, Monday, 3 o'clock.
November 2nd.
Something will be on here. I don't know what it is, but
yeah.
Interesting to tune in. And be more interesting if we tune in and we hear the door thrown open and we hear Dan Buffa going, I'm here.
I'm
whether
here,
you want yeah. me here or not. Oh, but that would be Tuesday. You'd have
It'd be
to
funny if they ran
right.
best of.
Of us?
They should.
Well,
yeah.
First of all, it wouldn't be funny at all. It'd be illegal, and I don't think they're going to do that. You'd have to meet with me to do
I
that.
I understand.
Yeah. Work something out. So how are you?
I'm actually good. I'm somber, but I'm good.
Sober or somber?
Somber. Well,
somber.
For
yeah.
now, sober.
Okay. Right.
2 hours, we'll revisit that.
For those who don't know, is Dan, is Jeff on here? Is he on for Dan?
No, not really. He's on about a joke.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, I'll talk to Jeff. But here's the thing, folks, if you don't know, this until 5, This is where you get a chance to share with us your suggestions for things to watch on television or things to avoid. So here are the numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Dan, do you mind if I talk to Jeff?
Yeah.
You do mind? Well, see, I said, no. Do you mind? You said, yeah.
I do not. I have a couple films, but we got time.
Well, let me talk to Jeff. Calls. Jeff, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I am fine. I am AM in the PM.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to follow you guys wherever you go.
Thank you.
But, hey, I have a joke, and, you know, it may be too risque for the radio, but, you know, once I start telling it, you'll know where it's going.
Well, we'll be the judge of that. What's the joke?
All right. There's a man, he decides he's going to move out to the country, and mm-hmm. he's going to start being a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets the next farmer over, and he tells him, well, I planned on getting me a horse and some chickens and some roosters. And the farmer's like, whoa, son. He goes, you know, if you're going to start being out here in the country with us, you're going to have to start talking the right talk. And he goes, a man don't use a horse out here in the country. He needs himself a good, hard-working ass. He goes, I got an ass right here, and she's a real good gal. Her name's Sal. You know, she gets tired, she'll sit down, just scratch her behind the ear, and she'll get up and start working again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he goes on, he goes, about this chicken business. He goes, out here we call them pullets. He goes, you're going to have to get yourself some pullets. They're good egg layers, and they'll really take care of you. If you want some
chicken, does this have a bucket? Does this joke have a board bucket in it? And
it does not.
Sit on your ass and pull it. There's a punchline. Go ahead.
No, that's close.
Okay.
Real close. Mm-hmm. He's going to need the ass. He's going to need some pullets. And if you want chicks, you're going to have a cock. You're going to have a cock working for you out there on the farm.
You know what, Jeff? I do know this joke. This is the joke that I was saying about on your ass. And I know it, and I think you've taken it about as far. That's why I don't tell this joke on this show. But thank you. It's
and if I may add, Frank has about 50 jokes he'll never tell on the air.
Yeah.
And we have thoroughly enjoyed them the last 3 years in the green room.
And this is in that category. But I really appreciate it. You have another one that's more arable?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, that's okay.
No, well, you know, there's the one about let me get my hat, you know, the willow out there.
Well,
right?
Somebody earlier just called that, and I made a note of it, and we'll get that in, too, before we get out of here. But thank you.
I want to touch base real quick on Tim Woodburn. He did me some work today, and I really appreciate what he's done for me so far, and I may still need him in the future. And really love your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Guys. All right. Thank you. Right. Bye-bye. Okay. And now back to, or actually to, Dan Buffa. Where do we start today? Do you guys have anything you found or discovered?
I watched something. Yeah.
I do too. Let's
so much good stuff, but I've also watched a lot of old stuff. I mean, Netflix is to blame, and I'll explain this, but let Tim and Limey go first, and then I'll start to ramble.
I'll keep it quick. The Confession Tapes, Netflix, it's a two-season series. The first episode is actually a two-episode. These are really real people confessing to real murders and how the police got them to confess. And the first one, I'm so hooked on this already. It's about this kid, and I mean kid, 18 years old, with a baseball bat, murders his sister, his father, and his mother. Mm. Him and his buddy both do, and they get away with it. And they move to Canada, and in Canada, the police in Canada can use interrogation techniques and various tactics that law enforcement in the United States is not allowed to use, and they use one of them, and it takes a while for this to be put in motion. It takes a while, but it is fascinating and spectacular how the Canadian authorities work with the U.S. authorities to get these two kids to confess to what they did and the way they got them to confess
it. So if we can't get anybody to talk here, we should send them over to Canada.
Well,
they specifically
use a tactic that's forbidden in the United States. It's not torture, but it's just a setup. It's a sting, if you will. But it's done a certain way. And it's spectacular.
Okay, so it's called
Confession Tapes.
Okay,
and it's Netflix.
Okay,
and that makes sense because when I saw this thing, I was like, and they're not remaking Redford and Newman,
no,
are they?
No.
But then I was like, wait a minute, true making of a murder, and I saw that. And
right.
That's it. I knew it was.
Well, it's sort of that's sort of the base of it. You know, it's kind of like the first 48 on regular TV on AMC where they get real confessions of real murderers and real murder investigations. But those are all usually, you know, tightly knit into an hour. They're kind of all the same, really. They lie to
them. Hey, Dan, is that person?
Yes.
Does that person want to go on?
No.
Cut them loose.
Okay.
Just cut them loose. Stop being so nice. Cut them loose. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I'll just wrap it up. The Confession Tapes. I'm a big fan. I'm two episodes in, And I learned something last night. The Canadian people can do something that we can't. And I think we should be able to do it after watching this show.
Okay. Dan, have you seen that show?
I have not.
But, Dan Strauss, have you seen it?
No.
Mr. Strauss?
You know what we're talking about? What's the name of the show?
No.
Okay, I know you don't. Mr. Nice Guy, he just talks to people. And I'd like for him to, you know, participate with us. We'd love to have him as part of the show.
Right.
That's Tim's contribution. Yep. What do you have, Limey?
Adam Sandler's new movie on Netflix.
Yes.
Hubie Halloween. It's goofy, funny. It's about an hour and 30 minutes long. Worth it. I recommend watching it.
I've heard a couple of people say it's good.
Hubie Halloween.
That's
his name.
Maybe I said something last week. It may have been quick, though, but I watched it. I enjoyed it. I didn't review it, though. It was one of those films I watched a little bit late after
H-U-B-I-E.
It came out.
H-U-B-I-E?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hubie.
Yep, Hubie Halloween.
And it's a great Adam Sandler role, and I will confess to another charge of watching it in a Sandler movie. It's Big Daddy. Yeah. That was on Netflix, and you know, it's there. It's 90 minutes. He makes so many, you know, 90-minute funny movies. They're not profound. They don't teach you anything, but they make you laugh.
They're entertaining.
They're entertaining.
Actually, they do. I disagree. Some of his movies do teach you about hate, bullying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Mr. Deeds and There's a message to Sandler's movies that I think oftentimes is a good one.
Well, he's one of those guys that every time people think he's down, he makes like four Netflix movies.
Yeah. Right.
And they all get watched. And then he goes and makes Uncut Gems, which I think, whether you like it or not, was kind of risky for him to do. He got up, you know, with these brothers, and he played this very terrible person.
I thought he pulled it off.
I think he pulled it off, and now he's going to play a basketball scout in the next Netflix movie. So
wow, he's really cranking them out, isn't he?
That sounds like, and I keep thinking, when are they making these? Where are they being filmed? And are they taking precautions? What are they doing? But they got all this stuff made because they literally film these things all year.
I have two.
You have two.
One is American Murder, The Family Next Door.
Yes. Well, I watched it.
Yeah.
On your recommendation.
Uh-huh.
That was tough.
And what I liked about it, it was all police file interviews. It wasn't a narrator and reenactments. It was in
that makes it
even though the guy's a monster, I found myself screaming to the TV, just lawyer up, dude. Just lawyer up.
Yeah.
Just lawyer up.
But how about, I got to see something I've never seen, and Tim will agree, I think, with this. The process of the polygraph and the way she worked his mind
she convinced him.
To make sure that one of the things she said, this is about, and I'm not giving anything away, it's a true story. It happened 2 years ago in Denver. And a guy killed his wife and his two cute little girls. He's a monster. But you look at him and you go, well, this guy couldn't have done that. He's a regular looking guy. But when she walked him in the room, the woman who's doing the polygraph, and remember she says, now, you do understand that no one would come in and do this in their right mind if they were guilty. Now, right then, his heart's got to be pumping.
And my favorite thing she said to him was, so here's the truth of the matter. Right now, one person in this room knows the truth.
Yes.
In 5 minutes, two people in this room are going to know the truth.
She was great.
She was mind-screwing him.
I've never seen, and this is not, again, folks, this is not a reenact. This is the actual footage of the polygraph of a murderer, and it's fascinating. So that's one, American Murder, The Family Next Door. Here's one I found last night by accident and watched two episodes of it, and somebody's going to have to help me and look this up. It is a Showtime series, and it's called, I think, The Seven Deadly Sins. There's seven episodes, and in each episode, they take a look at, and again, these are real people. Wait till you watch Gluttony and Lust. Those are two of the seven deadly sins. In the Gluttony episode, they focus on a black woman who weighs 700, I think it's 740. It's seven something. She's gigantic. And her husband, who feeds her during sex to help get her fatter, because her goal is to get...
During sex.
Yeah.
During sex.
Her goal, and he's skinny as a rail.
Really?
Her goal is to get fatter. And she says on camera, I want my butt to be bigger. I want my arms to be bigger. She's as big as a house. And she says when she feels full, like she just can't eat anymore, she and her boyfriend, husband, whatever, have developed some techniques that help her just keep eating more.
Oh
no, it's disgusting and disturbing. The
Lust.
The Lust.
Which two
episode,
did you watch?
I watched Gluttony and Lust.
Oh, okay.
Now, I looked this up, and there's a lot of different ones. How is it worded in the title? Because I looked it up, and it's like
the six number seven, titles. The number seven, and then Deadly, and then Sins.
Gotcha, okay.
Came out in 14.
The Lust episode, they...
That's older.
...kind of focus on a guy whose fetish is older women. And I don't mean older. He's like 30. I don't mean older like 50. No. I mean like 90.
Really?
And he has sex with women in their 80s and 90s. No, this is beyond belief, this guy... And that's his thing. And he is lustful, but only for really, really old women. And it's, I'm telling you, I'm probably going to try to watch all seven of them. Who can name the seven deadly sins, by the way?
I'm looking at, I'm cheating.
You're disqualified.
Dan, Sloth.
Dan Strauss, seven deadly sins.
Lust.
Yeah.
Greed.
Go ahead. Sloth, lust, gluttony, greed.
Four.
Oh, come on now.
Did you say sloth?
Sloth.
Yeah, laziness.
Laziness, yeah. Okay.
Pride, envy, and wrath.
There you go. That's the one, wrath, for anger.
I can't wait to watch the rest. That was an accidental discovery because I was on Showtime because I watched the third installment of The Comedy Store.
Okay.
Yeah. They've done the third now. The story of Mitzi Shore.
You mentioned that last
week. Which also is good, so that's my
contribution.
That's
three, yeah.
Dan, anything that you've seen? No?
No. Okay. I agree with Limey about Hubie Halloween.
You saw it?
Yes. Okay. Saw it, and we liked it. It's just a fun movie. It's not great or anything, but there are some references into
some of the Halloween movies, horror movies.
That, and there's some references into some old Adam Sandler movies.
That's true.
Like, and really, the best thing was, well, he kept pulling those tools out of that thermos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His thing is he's got a thermos that he made when he was, like, in Boy Scouts.
Swiss Army thermos.
It's a Swiss Army thermos. He's got a flashlight attached to it, a megaphone attached to it. It's always filled with soup.
And Strauss, by the way, we should put a little copyright on that, Mr. Sandler. If you want to use that, the Swiss Army thermos in Hubie Halloween 2,
right,
which will be coming, I guarantee you, next October, because they'll film it in some town. And by the way, the best thing about this movie, it highlights these small towns that make a big deal of Halloween. That's part of its appeal. I mean, and I think they really exist, too. So,
well, I think it's like a lot of small towns that make a big deal out of Christmas.
Everything.
The courthouse nativity scene.
Sure.
Not like anything you'll see in the city.
Everybody knows their names, like that. But there's another movie on Netflix. I've been doing a lot of Netflix watching. It's just there. They have new movies. One of the films I watched is Aaron Sorkin's new film, The Trial of the Chicago 7, which, come Oscar time, gents, is going to clean
that's
up.
That's got the Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, Cohen. He plays Abby Hoffman, and then you have Eddie Redmayne, who played Stephen Hawking. He plays, I think his name is Tom, and he's the big Democratic convention guy. But it's essentially 1968 riots, protesting, and the trial that put these protesters on trial for the first time. They had invented this law that allowed them to do that if they created that kind of environment outside of a convention or a courthouse, but they never put it in action.
What was their crime?
It was, I want to say it was the Roy something act, where even Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who plays a prosecutor, says, we've never tried this before. It's kind of like a crime that goes against protesting and rioting outside of a public event, something that they never really do, unless there's really bad violence, which there wasn't. And in this case, they charged him.
You said it's a crime that goes against rioting and protesting. I don't know what that means.
You know, it's an act. Okay, it's an act they made that had never been enforced before.
A law.
That's
it. Okay.
And even the prosecutor was like, are you sure you want to do this? And they did. They put him on trial, and the whole film is that. And it's kind of an acting showcase, because I've always thought Cohen was a funny guy. And, by the way, next week I'll be reviewing his Borat sequel, which comes out this Friday on Amazon.
I'll watch that.
It comes out this Friday?
This Friday, October 23rd.
My wife would never watch it.
She
tried to watch it for 2 minutes.
It's
the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It's not funny.
I laughed the whole movie.
Oh, hysterical.
Yeah. And this one, the preview looks great. It looks like he did it again. And then you have this guy playing a very serious character in this Aaron Sorkin film, which he wrote and directed. That's kind of a rarity. He's usually a writer. He did The West Wing. He did many other Netflix films, which are all available. You can have an Aaron Sorkin trio. You can watch this one, and then Brad Pitt and Moneyball, and then Jessica Chastain and Molly's Game.
This is the guy I think people hate me for. Is it Sorkin or Sorkin?
I always say Sorkin.
Sorkin.
With an S.
We just said Sorkin.
Yeah, like Sorkin.
Okay. Well, you said Sorkin.
Like Sork.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's Sorkin.
Sorkin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, what is the Borat
Sorkin
movie on?
We keep saying it.
What is the Borat movie
It's going to be on Amazon. And I want to think that it is again.
Can you address this deal? We're in the middle of some really disturbing censorship issues here. Can you address it all? Do you know anything about this movie, What Killed Michael Brown, and how Amazon decided not to show this?
I haven't heard any of that from a marketing company or anything.
Well, maybe somebody could check into this, because this is communism when they start this stuff.
That's crazy. I mean, I haven't heard. So it was pulled off Amazon?
That's my understanding, because they didn't like the narrative. And the narrative basically is that this is not about who killed Michael Brown. It's what killed him.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't believe should be suppressed, because that really is the case. It's not who. It's what. What circumstances. What lifestyle.
Exactly. Blah, blah, blah.
And they wouldn't run it. And we've run into this several times, especially with anything political. And I think it's dangerous ground.
I want to say this. It's probably because of an election year. And anything close, even on Twitter, they're pulling stuff
down.
Well,
all the more reason you shouldn't be able to manipulate what's out there because of your political agenda.
I agree, but it shows you how much they control, because you also had a New York Post story come down.
Head of research has something.
Amazon decided to pull it, and they wrote the director, whose name is Eli Steele, via email, that the film did not meet the tech giant's content quality expectations and would not be eligible to appear on the surface.
What a pile of crap that is.
That is so much crap.
Read that again. Didn't meet what?
It said the film did not meet Amazon's content quality expectations.
What does that even mean? That's so vague, I guess, doesn't mean anything.
I guess maybe they're saying that what I interpret it to mean is they feel that it can't be substantiated and that some of it might be made up.
Lots of things are made up.
But you can't film a documentary and portray it as nonfiction that have made up stuff in it.
Is it a documentary?
Well, I don't know.
Do they say it's nonfiction?
I mean, if it's a documentary, it has to be
about the death.
It has to be nonfiction.
Yeah. Well, here's what's disturbing.
But Rudy was a film about Rudy, but there's things in there that weren't factual.
But that was the cinematic version.
This reeks of
Rudy wasn't a documentary.
This reeks of political censorship, because they didn't like the tank and the angle.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Then they should never have aired JFK. They should never have run that movie.
Guess what would be the ultimate heel turn for Netflix? Pick it up.
Yeah.
And put it up there.
I agree.
And you know what? Because those two are going. I think Netflix is winning, but I think Amazon is just pushing back, because they're getting the new movies that you can watch instead of going to the theaters. Netflix is not doing it. Now they're producing new movies like Aaron Sorkin's Trials of the Seven. But you also have Amazon giving you that film that was released 2 weeks ago. But I think Netflix would be very wise and bold to pick it up.
Well, and I want to be careful here, because of something I know that I don't want to get into, but that I know you know as well, Frank. But this movie apparently depicts Darren Wilson, the cop, being beaten by a mob of black people in the week leading up to the shooting. So whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. But apparently that was in this movie.
Well, I don't believe that happened.
Right? Well, and that's maybe why they're...
Yeah. Maybe they watched it again and they just said, nope.
Okay.
I mean, imagine this. Imagine when the director finishes the movie and he goes, here, ship this off to the studio. Let me know what they think.
It reminds me of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Is that the name of the thing with Brad Pitt?
You can still watch the movie, though. The movie has its own website, and you can still stream it and watch it if you want.
In that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there was a lot of fact mixed with fiction and what if stuff. Like the whole thing about the Manson murders, the ending.
Yep.
So if you want to censor things and say, well, that's not how it really happened, well, then you should have done it with that movie, too, that's not what happened.
Well, really, you should have just called this a movie. Don't call it a documentary.
Right. And if they're, in fact, calling What Killed Mike Brown a documentary and saying that it's factual and truthful, then I get it.
And I have a solution.
They're not calling it a documentary. They're calling it a movie.
Well, then this is
a
wrong.
Movie there you go.
Then this should go up.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not claiming to be a documentary, which that is a factual presentation. Yeah. Yes, maybe they picked a certain side of the story. I watched a great documentary called Time. It's on Amazon. It's about Fox Rich,
who a girl who was trying to get her husband out of jail who was given 60 years for armed robbery.
I do want to watch that.
And that is great. It's 90 minutes. It's completely factual. It just follows her when she, because she was involved in it. She got prison time too, but her husband got 60 years and she got like 12. And this is her trying to get him out of jail. Now that's a documentary. That's factual. That is one angle. It's her side of the story. But this sounds like when movies go inspired by true events. Yeah.
Can we take a couple quick calls?
Let's do it.
They're here for you, obviously. Let's go to David. David, thank you for holding. Welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you got?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm AM in the PM.
Oh, a good start.
All right.
Hallelujah. I'm going to miss that.
All right. Well, not for long, hopefully. What do you got, David?
Well, I want to find you guys in the future. And last week, somebody on your show mentioned a website that's like a locator for radio stations. And I was wondering if you could tell me the name of that website.
Well, Tim Woodburn had a list of all the towers and radio frequencies, but that's not going to tell you if we end up anywhere. It's not going to tell you where we're going to end up.
No, the site was radiolineup.com, and then you have to just punch in St. Louis. That just lists all the stations, but it doesn't list what shows on every station.
Right.
Yeah, but
right. Well, that's fine. Between me and my iPad and my Echo.
There you go. David, do you have...
come out and find you.
You have access to the Internet, right?
Yes.
Well, if you want to know what we're doing, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/AM.
I don't touch Facebook.
Well, hold on. You don't have to have a Facebook page. I don't have one either. What I'm saying is this is just a site, no different than any other site you go to. If you go there, you'll be glad you did. There's all kinds of videos and pictures of us through the 3 years we've been here and a whole bunch of, like, fun stuff. And we will keep you updated on that site and tell you exactly when we know where we're going to be.
Including Frank shooting what I think is the largest handgun I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff on there. You'll really like it if you check it out. Facebook.com/AM in the PM.
Oh, man.
It's our show site. You don't have to do Facebook. I don't.
And Frank, oh, okay. I also have something I want to tell the listeners of this show, that the last 82 segments, my Tuesday 4 to 5 entertainment segment, I have on my personal site, with the link to the audio that will not go away, ascend, hopefully transfer to your site whenever you start up. But it is there if you want to listen to a review or just an hour of us, you know, bantering around the room here for about an hour. I have 82 of those segments on my site, doseofbuffa.com.
Okay. But back to.
Can I ask if your show is a podcast?
It is now, but it won't be because there won't be a show to podcast, and you can't access it through the station because it's not part of the station anymore. But here, David, you got to go to that Facebook page. If you do that, you'll spend probably 10 hours on it tonight getting caught up on things you never knew we put up there.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well,
okay,
I'll do that.
All right. Thank you, David.
Good luck to you.
I appreciate it.
Each and every one of you, man. I enjoy every one of you.
Well, I appreciate it a lot. Thank you. All right. Now we go to Jim. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm AM in the PM.
There you go. What's up?
I don't have anything to contribute to the segment, but I will tell you this. I don't hate you for saying that S versus Z thing. I love you for it. I can't stand that crap. I was yelling at my radio, Sorkin! Sorkin.
Buffa doesn't realize that he said every time Alan Sorkin. He doesn't even realize he did
and
that.
My God, on the Sopranos, Dr. Cus Amano, not Cus Amano, Cus Amano. Oh, my God, drives me nuts. That's all I got.
Okay, all right, thank you, Jim.
You know what that is. That's the South St. Louis.
That's me.
Part of Dan Buffa coming out because...
When I know you what you're going to say.
It says they call it South St. Louis.
And how about zinc?
Zinc, yes.
I washed him in the kitchen, zinc.
Yeah.
You take a quick show poll. I took a ride with a Lyft driver, a very friendly lady in her mid-30s, and she was very black, and she was very funny and friendly and talked with a certain rhetoric. It's like... And I mean, she talked to herself or me the entire ride. And I said, I was joking with her back and forth. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you talk to yourself out loud when no one's in the car and no one can hear it?
I do.
And she, I don't.
I do.
And she said she does all the time.
I do it all every day.
I do.
Is that
I
normal?
Every day.
Yeah, especially when I'm driving.
Really?
I do it
every single day. I did it
not
today.
Not yelling at drivers. No. Just talking to yourself out loud.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud. Out. And I will tell you sometimes.
Not talking into your phone.
No.
I'm talking about
just. No. All the time. I walk around the house and do it.
I always think that, well, I drive around thinking for 1 second my window's open. And they just, the person that's been in the last two lights is going, yeah, I think you should really resolve that.
Man.
And then you just like, and what's that sound that, the sound of silence, as you just drift, as the windows go up, and you just.
I'm glad you asked that.
I don't.
But I don't doubt that you don't, but I do it every day. I talk to myself out loud in the car by myself or at home in the room by myself.
Okay, we have to resolve this. How do you say that guy's name? I've been saying it wrong.
Sorkin. Alan Sorkin.
Sorkin.
Yeah.
I got it?
Sorkin.
Yeah, you got Sork. It. Sork. Yeah. But you all did right. Say he's right. Jim's right. You said Sorkin.
I did. But you know what? I'm also a guy that's has written about learning how to say Charlize Theron, not Theron. Okay. And not goshing, it's Gosling. Right. That's two things I've learned here. So
you learn a lot here. In the
I
show.
Do.
The show is a learning.
3 years.
Show.
You wouldn't say Zidane, Char. You'd say Zidane.
Zidane.
Right.
Yeah.
So Char. It goes the other way around.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. When you talk to you out loud, what do you talk about?
What I've got to do for the day.
I do the same thing.
My chill
around the room. For the day.
Around
yeah.
The
no,
room.
No.
Like, you know,
I,
what
no,
I'm going to do. Like, right?
Like audible notes. I go, first screen of credit union.
Right.
And then just stop. I said out loud. I do it. I look at Tim. He's like,
yeah, I do the same thing. It helps me formulate my plan.
Yeah.
I have a confession.
Yeah.
I hear both the lawyers talk in my head. You have the prosecutor and the defendant, and they go, nope, I don't agree with any of you. But you're hearing them out, and you're talking to both of them. This
what
is
lawyers
great.
Are you talking to?
The voices in your head are going, no, you shouldn't do that. Oh, no, I should go.
You know what? Unlike conscience. Me and Limey, you're actually crazy.
I am. Yeah. You mean like the white angel and the red angel in Animal House?
Good
where
guy
he's telling her to do the
good guy
and
the bad
girl?
Guy.
Right. You need a psychiatrist.
That is a little creepy.
Yeah, that's creepier than our story.
But I also do a lot of that. I basically just think out loud. Essentially, if I'm trying to put an article together in my head,
now,
I'm talking about that.
I tell you this, with the exception of the Freddie Freeman joke and maybe one or two others, no notes for jokes. I just tell the joke. I'll write down one, like right here, I wrote down, I'll get my hat. Okay, that's all
sure.
I have. I know
you
the
go
joke.
Off. Yeah.
But Freddie Freeman's an exception. It's so convoluted. It's become so long and drawn out. So I wrote it out. Now, one of the things I do talk out loud to myself about is sometimes on the way in here, I like to come in knowing what joke I'm going to tell.
Sure.
That's really all I absolutely know that I'm going to do. So I will think of the joke and out loud, that's the guy who's in the bar and bar. I'll kind of run through it just to make sure I haven't,
so the rhythm is
different.
The rhythm is good.
But I also talk out loud about just anything that's in my head. I'll say it out loud. I know, you look at me like...
Sometimes, what I've done lately, if you want to really yell at somebody, you just get in your car, and then you yell everything you want to say to that person, you get it out, and you're done. I've done that before.
The only time I ever do it is if I do something stupid, and I yell at myself.
Idiot! Sure.
I yell at myself.
Yeah. Why did you do
that?
You
know, that's the only time. But if no one's listening, I just find that I don't speak if no one's there to hear what I'm saying.
I had a meeting today with Glenn Barks. He's the CEO, president of the First Community. On the way over, in the car, I think I sort of knew what he might ask me,
mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of rehearsing.
Yeah.
The answer.
Totally different. Okay. Totally different. I totally understand. Well, that's something
okay.
Completely different.
But I also just verbalize, time to get a drink. There's some Splenda. There's the Splenda. I say it out loud. Let me get two things. I'll make a little tea.
Yesterday.
I know it's weird.
Yesterday I was driving down Manchester and I said, do I want to go to the bread company?
I've done it. Soup? I've done that. No, I've done it.
Yeah. And I go, yes, I do.
This is foreign to Tim.
No,
foreign.
No, you're driving down the road and you're going, crazy boy.
How about this? I'm in traffic and I'll go, what is that guy doing? Like, I'm talking.
Oh, yeah.
I'm asking myself,
what is he doing?
This is the way I've always thought of it. We're just like a newsman. We're going, well, it looks like Jim crashed his car again on the side of the road and back to the studio.
No, that would be. Narrating us. Mine is more like, let's say a good-looking girl crosses the street in front of me. I will out loud say, you are one fine looking. I just say, or I'll say it third person, like, well, she's really got a nice rack on her.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
What? I wonder where she got that
dress. You
start
just kind of breaking it down.
Yeah. Or, so or I'll say out loud, look at that guy. Maybe he needs somebody to tell him to. And I just do that all the time.
Or you ever just drive by and go, you should do a push-up. Just one.
Oh,
and just,
no.
You know, just leave,
no,
just leave the window.
That I don't.
Fat
wow.
shamer.
That,
I tell myself.
Fat shamer.
That'll get you punched in the face.
No, I mean like a skinny person. Not a fat person.
I tell myself right. not to forget the turn. Don't forget right. the turn up here.
I do that too.
I'm uh-oh. Turning heel.
I'll say, is this the street? Yeah, this is the street right here. I'm wrong.
Yes.
Oh, well, let's put it this way. When I was an Uber driver, you can have put an audio in my car. Do you have enough for a whole season on Netflix of me just going, where is this street? There's the street. Oh, there. Oh, that guy.
Let me
tell
you something. It's a good thing you mentioned this. I have a dash cam in one of my cars, and it picks up audio. So when you're in your car and you forget about that, and you say things like, well, I can't wait to get to the station. And you just, and then you realize, oops, that's on the SIM card, the SD card in the dash cam. So be careful. What else? What else do we need to check out and watch?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of, on Netflix, I think when a new film comes out, they put other films from the writer or the actor, and so I've watched a lot of Brad Pitt this week because on Netflix they can have a whole Brad Pitt section.
You kind of lit up when you said I watched a lot of Brad Pitt this week.
Well, because he's a Missouri boy. I mean, we both went to Missouri, Columbia, Mizzou for about a period of time of our lives, but
you didn't go at the same time though.
No.
He's older, right?
He's older. Okay. He basically was, a semester short of a journalism degree at Mizzou, and he said, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to California.
What a stupid decision, walking away from that degree.
And gave up on a great career.
8 months later, he's in a movie called Thelma and Louise, and then he's blast all River Runs Through It, Seven, and then everything's a star. But lately, he's made a lot of pretty good decisions as an actor. He hasn't really overextended himself. A lot of actors, even like Brad Pitt, who can be the movie star, but he can also be a part of an ensemble.
Can I say this about Brad Pitt? What? Do you ever, when you think about a star, do you ever think, like, I wonder what it'd be like if we accidentally encountered each other and had to spend an hour together? I think if I, let's say I was at the lake, and I'm fishing, and all of a sudden I realize over here next to me is Brad Pitt's
That's
fishing.
Brad Pitt.
I think that he would be easy to talk, very easy to just strike up a conversation, and he would seem...
Yeah,
as close to normal as a big star.
There's a couple stories that, you know, because whenever, I mean, I read so many things, even interviews that I don't do. I want to know as much about an actor, especially if he's in a lot of stuff. So Brad Pitt has been known to be a guy that doesn't have a trailer, he doesn't have an entourage, he just pulls up to the set in a motorcycle, and that's it. Nobody comes with Brad Pitt. That's it.
You know, Dan, Frank told me a story off the air that I have repeated at least 7 times that I think is just absolutely hilarious, and I can't believe he's not, maybe you have told us. Maybe you told it on the air when it happened, but when he was at the other station, apparently there was a woman that worked there who was fascinated by the group Limp Bizkit. And Fred Durst, the lead singer of Limp Bizkit, is sitting there with his bandmates, and they're all like in a booth, and they're sitting there enjoying a meal, and she's freaking out and about to have a overload mental breakdown because that's her. She's just and she won't shut up, and she's driving everybody nuts in the station where Frank worked, and she wouldn't shut up about it. She was getting on Frank's last nerve, so finally said Frank's like, why don't you just go there and see him? She's like, I can't do that. Frank's like, fine, I'll go do it. And Frank walks up to the table. Here's what he says. Frank, this is probably the one and only time this has ever happened in Fred Durst's life. Frank walks up to the table and goes, all right, which one of you guys is Fred Durst?
I was there. Well,
the station actually was, Dan, was it Danny O'Toole's?
It was
a little Irish pub next door called Danny O'Toole's. And this chick is losing her mind. And I said, what's wrong with her?
Fred Durst.
And a couple other girls there says, oh, she's going crazy because Fred Durst is. And I said, who the heck is that? She said, Limp Bizkit. I said, who's that?
And why is he limp?
Explained it to me. I went over and I said, which one of you is Fred Durst? And he raised his hand.
Yeah, sure,
a lot of tattoos. And I said,
Little?
Yeah.
Short?
Yeah. I said, look.
Cool dude, though.
Some girl next
he
door.
He was very nice.
Crazy about you. I don't know anything about you.
I told my niece, and I can't even spit it out. I told my nephews and nieces that story, Cam. They got the biggest kick out of that because they're just infatuated by him, you know?
And I went back over and got her, and I said, Fred's ready to meet you.
He was extremely nice.
Yeah.
He was really nice.
I said, come on, my buddy, Fred Durst, let's go. We walk over. I walk her in there, walk right at him, and I go, Fred Elaine, or whatever the heck her name was. Elaine? Fred Durst. I thought she was going to pass out.
So
the reason I bring it up is because you say if you saw Brad Pitt fishing, he'd probably be a nice hand talking to you. And there's an example of a guy being that exact.
Yeah. He didn't pull the, hey, I'm trying to have lunch, man.
I just have a feeling that he'd be so chill.
I agree.
I know he's alcohol free, but I'm sure he probably still smokes a little bit. Him and Quentin Tarantino, there's the way that he's gotten into his movies, he gets Brad Pitt drunk. And then he accepts the role.
By comparison, I think if you tried that with George Clooney, he'd call for security. Or something. I don't think he would. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, I co-starred a movie with George. Yeah, he wasn't like this.
We know. You have two minutes.
Well, yeah. If you're in a Brad Pitt mood, there's three different roles on there that I like. Troy, which is not a great film, but he's a great Achilles, though. I think I want to watch the uncut version that Wolfgang Peterson put up.
I watched it.
But I just cannot stand Orlando Bloom, well, man.
I've never heard one good thing about Troy. And then Tim says he watched it four times. Is this the Greek?
Yeah, the Trojan horse and all that.
So Brad's probably in the loincloth or something.
And yeah, Tim, women love
and
it.
Tim watched it four times.
But he's not great. Why. He's a great character.
It was the plot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. I will say the action scenes in that film are very well done.
Yeah,
but you have
true.
That. You have him playing a GM in baseball, Billy Beane.
Also a great
in
movie.
Moneyball. He's great. And then he plays... let's say a mob guy, a mobster, and Killing Them Softly. A very under.
I like Brad. I watch anything Brad Pitt's in. And how about
he plays different
Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah,
don't forget that.
On Thumb and Louise.
Aldo Raine, is that his name?
I think so. I think
that role. Yeah. And also, Cliff Booth. So yeah, you have all these roles that he plays, and he's still a movie star. But he's a movie star who wants to be an actor. That's what I've always liked about Brad Pitt.
What was the where he's the slave plantation? Recent
12
movie.
Years a Slave.
He was in that?
And he also produced that, too. Yeah, he took home an Oscar for that.
Yeah. There was no reason for him to be in it,
sure.
Except I get it. If you say he's in it, it's a little more of a draw. And that was a, wow. Limey, have you ever seen 12 Years a Slave?
Nah.
Haven't. That, along with Schindler's List and about two others, is a movie I'll never watch again. It was too disturbing.
But you have to admit it was fascinating.
I was fascinated the whole from front to end, but I'll never watch it again.
No, but I know what he's saying.
But there's
Schindler's
two
List,
forces.
I agree.
In 12 Years a Slave, you have Chiwetel Ejiofor, who plays...
Say that again.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Very good.
And then Michael Fassbender playing... you talk about
a
Schindler's List.
A horrible person.
Ralph Fiennes played the German officer.
No, right on.
He won an Oscar for it, but Fassbender playing that slave, that plantation owner, gosh. He has that... Kind of like that lazy beard and the haircut. He just looks kind of a little bit insane
in
that movie.
But far and away, the guy whose name I can't pronounce that you just did.
Yeah, Chiwetel.
What?
He's so good. It's the whole movie. It's really kind of it kind of drains you. I'll agree. Yeah. Schindler's List and 12 Years a Slave, you have to kind of prepare for.
All right. Well,
one more hour left.
That's it. You get one more shot at this next week.
Oh, I'm going to take my best shot.
You're
but
done,
until
buddy.
Then, I'm Dan Buffa, and I've had enough of
it. There you go. Daniel, what's your middle initial?
Lawrence. Or basically,
Lawrence
put
is not
my
an initial.
Trip one time in
that's
school,
not, no, that's
Larry.
Not an initial. That's not an initial.
So
it's
L would be the initial.
Initial.
I want to explain
again.
It.
All right, let's try to edit that out. It made it sound.
All right, I got you.
Radio edit.
So what's your middle initial?
L.
So Daniel L. Buffa.
Yes.
All right. Daniel L. Buffa. Will join us again for his last time on this station next Tuesday. Be sure to join us. Now, before we break away and head for the 5 o'clock hour, Ballas Dental Care. The only person I haven't had a one-on-one conversation with is my dentist. I did leave him last week a voicemail. I said, hey, I got some bad news. I know that over the years, in about 18 years, we've brought hundreds, and that's not an exaggeration, of new patients to Ballas Dental Care, but we'll do that again down the road. But for now, we are forced to take a little hiatus, and I will probably talk with him at length about it tomorrow, certainly by Friday. His name is Dr. Douglas T. Watanabe. He's been my dentist for 47 and a half years. He's not the only dentist at Ballas Dental Care. There are a couple other great dentists there, Dr. Haynes and Dr. Olivier. That's what makes Ballas Dental Care the place it is. It's not the chairs or the little cups that spit out water that you, the suction thing they hang in your mouth or the nitrous or the shot. None of that. The way they use that stuff is important, meaning a lot of places give you shots and sometimes they hurt. I've never felt a shot at Ballas Dental Care. It's the people there. It's the hygienists there. It's the receptionists who are there. And, of course, the dentist. Please, folks, you are not doing yourself any favors if you keep putting off going to the dentist. And even if you go regularly, make one appointment at Ballast Dental Care, and you'll get it. You'll see what I'm talking about. And I'll have a chance next week or two to do this, but I'm going to do it now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Over 18 years, all of you who have not forgotten when you walk in there or you call to make an appointment to let them know you're AM and the PM. Ballast Dental Care at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The Illinois Fighting Illini play here, the home of the Fighting Illini in St. Louis.
KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.